This is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business here in Stockholm at the Internet Forum. And I'm with Helani Galapaya, who is the chief executive of Learn Asia, which is a nonprofit, which is a pro-poor, pro-market nonprofit. Now, just a short while ago, when we had this session, you talked about net neutrality. And one thing that I've been struggling with, and many people are probably struggling with, is what is the problem with making internet accessible to poor at a very low cost? Isn't that good for human rights?
We certainly come from the camp that believes, Learn Asia, when I say we come from the camp that believes that giving people access is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with anything else in life, like cars, they can be used for good or for bad. So obviously there's other side of it, but access is a fundamental driver of economics. It makes people's lives better. It opens up the democratic participation they can have. It improves their rights. So I think access is a very positive thing. Affordability has been a fundamental problem for the poor. And if somebody can give access for free, great, that's a great thing. On top of that, we celebrate the fact that the free internet that's given by telecom operators or Facebooks or various people is given by the private sector. It is not public money that is going. And our countries have limited resources, and we can then use those limited resources in other areas. So we generally celebrate this with caution.
Yeah, so where is the but? I was just going to ask that, yes.
We like the fact that this is given to people. Of course, the but is that we actually don't know enough about whether this will create a fundamentally different type of digital participation.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the argument many people make. That is that this is creating a ghetto for poor people to stay within these walled gardens, and mm-hmm. they will only consume that. However, our research is very clear that even well before the zero-rated phenomena, people were anyway staying within Facebook, for example. Even now, kids who have access to the full internet are only using social media. So social media is driving internet use, whether or not you're a price-sensitive user, whether or not you're on a zero-rated package. So I think those are just the facts.
Zero-rated package, can you explain it for people who don't know what it is?
So people in the developing world consume metered internet. That is, everybody will buy for, you know, let's say $10, you get 5 gigs or some bucket of data that you can consume. Zero-rated means there's some types of content defined by the operator or the content provider that doesn't count towards your package.
Mm-hmm.
And what's common is for very attractive content like social media, WhatsApp, certain music to be zero rated. So the most common example is for Facebook to strike a deal with the operator where a certain version without video and without pictures of Facebook will be offered for free. So it doesn't count towards my 5 gigs of data per month, for mm-hmm. example. So you can unlimited consume it. There are other variations where it's not necessarily free, but for an additional 5 rupees a month or something, I get to consume a large amount of Facebook. But any other content that's not Facebook, I have to pay the normal rates, and that's usually higher.
But can an economic argument be made that these things are not free? If you want to watch certain content or if you want to read an article in a newspaper, somebody has to be paid for it, and
absolutely.
Why should it be for free?
Sure. It is not free in the sense, even now, it is free to the user, this particular thing, but somebody's paying the bill. And who's paying the bill?
At the
moment, it is either advertising-driven or in the case of like internet.org or free basics, it is the telecom operator. Why are they doing it? You know that we have under 20% of our people online in South Asia, for example. Operators are under pressure to increase revenues, right? And voice revenues are going down, so they want people to adopt mm-hmm. more data packages. If people are not coming online and using data, they are trying, you know, it's like a gym membership. I'll give you 2 months free membership, and then maybe in the third month, you'll see the benefits and start paying
right.
me, right? And that's where this conversion rate comes in, where if you give it away for free, and after a few months, days or something, they start paying, then it makes it worthwhile for this investment to happen.
So the people who don't pay after the second or third month, do they lose access altogether?
That really depends on the country. So
right.
in the case of free basics or internet.org, that seems to be a pretty continuous thing. They keep getting access over time. But if they, of course, even these people, if they want to go outside to any other content that's mm-hmm. outside of the walled garden, they have to pay. But in some countries, we have seen, let's say, a 3-month introductory offer. When you buy a SIM and you sign up for this service for 3 months, you get certain things free. After that, you lose the freeness of it unless you have become a paying subscriber.
Right.
So you see different flavors.
So when you look at it like any other utility, you know, people have been talking about water and electricity as examples. Most people will agree that somebody has to be paid so that you get pipe water. It may not be the user, but someone has to access it. Similarly, electricity, certain basics should be probably free if it can be afforded by the state, but the rest the user has to pay. So a metered system of internet, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, in countries with low connectivity and where the network still has not rolled out, we think metered systems give the incentives for investment.
Right.
Because if you give unlimited, you will have, you know, the 80-20 rule, 20% of the users using 80% of the bandwidth and not making enough money in the network, so rollout is impacted. And we really do need rollout. If it's not just simple networks, we need to move from 2G to 3G to 4G and so on. So investment is a primary driver in our country, and for that, I think that is important.
Your organization is pro-poor and pro-markets. Mm-hmm. And there are many people who say that the two are, you know, contradiction in terms, mm-hmm. that it cannot be. Markets
yeah.
cannot work for the poor.
Yeah.
And there are people who have written books about it. And
right.
then also there are people like Prahlad who say that, no, the bottom of the pyramid
Indeed.
Matters.
Yes.
How do you address it? And again,
yeah.
from the rights perspective, that
yeah.
the poor are the ones who are disadvantaged, discriminated, and marginalized in most
cases.
So
I really go look back at, I think this theory is called Diamond, where he mm-hmm. looked at markets and he said there is sort of the currently X number of people are served, if it's in telecom
right.
or, you know, whatever service. If you remove a lot of the regulatory barriers, ridiculous taxation, increased competition, you can serve now a whole lot more people. The market possibilities frontier. The number of people you can serve have to increase. They
mm-hmm.
have, and history has shown that. In telecoms is the best example,
mm-hmm.
where with very high levels of competition in India, Sri Lanka, in many South Asian countries, we have the cheapest and most affordable phone prices, you know, voice minute prices
right,
in
right.
the world. This is not in dispute,
mm-hmm.
right? That has happened not because government spent money, because government acted in this facilitator role. They didn't spend money, they gave out licenses. And when capital markets put in money, they demand a return on investment, so people have to go out to other areas that are unserved. You have enough competition, prices come down. So there are, and the poor are being connected, 3
mm-hmm.
million people a month are coming mm-hmm. online, right, getting a phone. So pro-poor and pro-market is not a contradiction anymore. Telecom is the best example of this.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are always going to be groups of people that with whatever market mechanisms are not going to be profitable to serve. So regulators have a thing to do in facilitating investment, etc. But there will always at any given point in time, even with this moving technology frontier, be a group of people or regions that are just not profitable. And there, I think the solution is for the government to come in through mechanisms that don't distort the market. So,
mm-hmm.
for example, demand-side vouchers where users can walk in and use internet cafes, as opposed to subsidizing the whole cafe, but creating the demand so that when users are over time willing to pay, you don't need to keep giving those vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
So there are very creative mechanisms that have been used across the world for, where certain types of government money have actually helped to connect the unconnected. So there is a role for government, always, not just the facilitation, occasionally for even investment in marginal areas.
Yeah, and we would argue, and probably you would agree, that the governments also have a role to ensure that the thing is well regulated to start with and the rights are protected.
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely. And I mean, our general mantra has been competition where possible, because
mm-hmm.
that takes care of a lot of ills. Because,
yeah.
you know, if people don't like your walled garden, you just get another SIM and move.
Yeah.
But there are areas where there is either not possible to have a lot of competition or at the moment there isn't competition. There, the regulatory eye is even more important. Because
particularly
to,
because of the fear of a monopoly.
Yes, and you need to ensure equal access, openness, and so on and so forth. And there are many points in our internet value chain that are not competitive. Backhaul, for, you know, in-country backhaul, the optical fiber. It's not competitive, right? So things like that we need to worry about.
Thank you. This is fascinating, and all the best for your very interesting work.